This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
Hey, the next few moments I want to talk to you. This part is going to be my opinion. In a few weeks, we're going to be voting for a candidate. And on that Tuesday, I just want you to know that these doors will be open to anyone who wants to vote and then pray, or pray and then go vote. The church will be open from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Those front doors will be open. I won't open that side door. There was a journalist, Jonathan Last, V. Last, wrote in an article a few years ago. And so I think that sign is just a little white sign, right? Up there, okay. When I stayed in this Las Vegas hotel, I was moved by the hotel's commitment to help their guests save the planet. So he saw a sign like this. There was a card in the bathroom that said, "Please help us conserve water by using your towel more than once." Anybody who travels, you ever see that? Raise your hand. And this is not a joke, so I know it sounds like I'm about to do a punchline. This is not a punchline. It's a true story. So please help us conserve water by using your towel more than once. And he writes, and then on his nightstand, he saw another card asking visitors to safeguard our natural resources by opting not to have bed linens changed during your stay. You stay in a fancy hotel, they'll change the bed linens. So the next photo continues to write, "Then he looked out of the front window of the hotel where two massive fountains spraying precious water in this low humidity, desert dry air." And he writes, "It struck me that their concern for the environment might simply be an attempt to save money on laundry cost." This is just an author saying it doesn't make sense. You know what doesn't make sense. He writes, "The hotel knew something about human nature. They knew that their customers wanted to feel like they were doing something virtuous. And by doing so, the hotel can keep more profits." Genius move. In a few days, there will be a celebration on October 31st, and it's called Reformation Day. Reformation Day is a famous day where Martin Luther nailed to the door 99 Theses. Historian writes that Martin Luther identified as the psychological game behind the priest, his name is Johann Tetzel, and other priests who were selling indulgences to their contemporary followers. If you're not sure what an indulgence is basically you make a donation and God will forgive you. This priest, Tetzel, thought he can get a 2-for-1 deal. By easing the guilt of those who were fearing purgatory, and I don't have time to talk about purgatory. Purgatory is this temporary place where you have to pay penance so that you can continue on to your journey to heaven. So it's not the people who made it to heaven, it's the people who are kind of in between, and this is what they were propagating. So this priest thought he can get a 2-for-1 deal by easing the guilt of those fearing purgatory and at the same time raise money for building the St. Peter's Basilica Chapel, which is the next picture. So in other words, there was a building project and there are these people who want to do something to feel virtuous. We're giving money so they can be forgiven, and that money was going to build this church. I like to say this a lot, and I think this is a great idea on paper. these priests were selling indulgences, and I'm sure maybe they convinced themselves they were really helping to build the church and saving souls at the same time. And I'm sure they weren't thinking, this is a great way of making money, taking advantages of people. The person who was paying for these indulgences could ease their conscience with this offering. They've done something bad, take out the wallet, give it to the priest, priest does his thing, everybody's good. So the person who is buying these indulgences could ease their conscience with this penance offering. And this person, and I'm speculating here, realized that giving money is much easier than actual asking for repentance. Maybe to ease their own conscience or convictions. It's easier to pull out your wallet than to repent. And I would say, similar into today's world, in a few weeks, our nation will think that pulling a lever or filling in an oval with black ink will be about, I'm not saying you, but there'll be people who are thinking this is about saving souls and building the church. Why? Because filling an oval with black ink is easier than carrying a cross and actually being the church or repentance. This one author, Russell Moore, says, tossing a coin is easier than carrying the cross. So again, this is me. We've been leading up to this point. We knew that the lecterns were coming. We were talking about Romans. Romans is a church that was being divided. And Paul is coming in and admonishing the church to keep united, to keep the things that are important, important. One thing about pastoring, if you look at research of pastoring, one of the biggest concerns pastors have, to the point where they're stressing out over it, is the election. And so my challenge, my goal in prayer, I believe God was leading us, is to keep us united. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. So I would say, please do not be duped that thinking your candidate is the answer for our country. Only Jesus can save our country. And don't be duped by voting for your candidate because you hate the other candidate, because you think your candidate will save our country. And I'm here to tell you, as a pastor at Mosaic Church, and I haven't really talked to our elders if I could say this, but I could say this with full conviction, is that Jesus is our answer. And we need to keep the main thing the main thing. I believe our country will change when the church really lives out the lives that God has called us and intended us to live. See, a true follower of Jesus understands remorse, confession, repentance, and surrender are all integral and are internal spiritual acts, and it requires one to surrender to Jesus and ask Jesus for forgiveness. And when that happens, what happens internally expresses externally. All I'm saying is your vote is important, but remember, only Jesus can save. While the one who is just trying to ease their conscience and give with indulgences or votes, these type of people, this is a slang word, but they like to keep receipts, meaning that they're going to cash in, or they're going to try to get their money from what they've, or get something back from keeping the receipts, be reimbursed for their investment. Now, what really, again, speculating because I haven't talked to them, What really bothered Martin Luther was not only was the church corrupt, but I believe he was more concerned with the believers, the contemporary believers, the medieval Christians, thought that by giving an offering would actually help them overcome their sin and could wipe away their guilt, instead of what really could wipe away their sin and overcome their sin and deal with their guilt, was to only have faith in Jesus and Him alone. This is what we need to be careful, and I don't think anybody here would fall into this trap, but church attendance could be the same thing. Like somehow, you know, you're gonna go before the Lord and say, well, I went to church every week. That's keeping receipts. Versus throwing ourselves before the Lord and say, have mercy, thank you, God, that I'm your child. I'd be lost without you. So instead of really what can wipe away our sins and make us clean, Jesus, sadly, these people were duped to thinking if they gave out of their wallet, somehow they'll be saved from going through the challenge of purgatory. Matthew 7:15 says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruits, you will recognize them. My challenge for us and myself is I'm not putting my faith in a person or a party other than Jesus. But I want to challenge you to vote. Vote your conscience. But I pray to God that isn't a way of just flipping a coin into the church treasury, because we have work to do as a church. So God has called us to look for those who are hurting as the church, those who are lonely, those who are in prison, those without clothes. It's not their job to do it, it's our job. So make a tree good and its fruit will be good, and make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. Matthew 12, 33-37. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. I made the mistake one time. I was in the same boat as James, new to the region, new to a bunch of pastors. And I decided to preach from this verse, this next verse. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? And I was saying that to a bunch of pastors. They thought I was serious. I was kidding. And so back to what I wanted to say in the beginning, kind of like the hotel. Do you remember? When he looks out of the hotel, he sees this beautiful fountain. He recognized the hotel knew something about human nature. They knew that their customers wanted to feel like they were doing something virtuous. And at the same time, the hotel was making money. I pray that we don't fall prey to organizations that prey on people who want to do something virtuous. But really, it's all about money. Let's make the church, amen? If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Romans chapter 8. And I won't take long. I know it's, I'm not 100% sure I'm going to be here next Sunday. The plan is I have to be in Miami. And so that's why I wanted to share this part. There will be one more Sunday before election, but I wanted to present it to you that we're not duped. Amen. Romans chapter 8. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we say thank you for this day, For Lord, you are good. You are good. We just sang that, the goodness of God. And Lord, that, Lord, we sang a song. Patrick led it beautifully. I pray, God, that we understand that you are always with us. You never fail. Your presence is our reward. Help us to understand this. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans 8:18. A friend of mine named Dennis Gaylor, he was our national director, and this happened 30 years ago now. His daughter, 18 years old, was driving home, and she was killed instantly by a drunk driver. And I did not know Dennis when this happened. I knew him like a few years later. Dennis was our national Chi Alpha director. And he shared with me early on in our, Sue was here. She remembers those days. Sue, were you around when his daughter died? Were you? Okay, so it was before your time? Like a year, right? It would be a year before your time. He talked about in very, very dark moments. And we don't want to act like dark moments don't happen. We don't play that game here at Mosaic Church. If dark things happen, we want to mourn with you. I think mourning with one another is a very Christian virtue. We don't have to act like it didn't happen. But during his time of mourning, the loss of their precious daughter, he did tell me something that has always stayed with me, that he always felt God's presence. He always felt God's presence, and that was enough to sustain him during these dark moments. Another friend of mine, Joy Schroeder, her husband Dick Schroeder was here years ago, and he did a message on the Father Heart of God. And Joy had kids, and she was a mom, like many of you, with young children, and she went to the grocery store, and she was T-boned and became a paraplegic. And I remember her sharing her story, and I don't think we have any little kids here, because I'm old school, so the word S-U-C-K-S is not a good word. But she said something, sometimes life sucks, but God is always good. And that stuck with me from that moment she shared that in 1996. Dick has gone to be with the Lord, and Dick, her husband, has been taking care of her. He's the one that would lift her out of the bed into the wheelchair, into the restroom, and back, and they've gotten older together. So that's 30 years later, he passed away. So there was no one in her home to take care of her. But I heard her recently say the same thing, that God is good. So let's just look at Romans chapter 8, verse 18. I'm looking for my glasses. Where are they? I promised the doctor I'd wear my glasses when I'm reading. El doctor. Yet, what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse, but with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we, believers, also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from this sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he promised us. Suffering is part of the Christian life. Some of you have suffered. Some of you have stories that would make us weep, and we weep with you. But I pray that you were never been told that suffering is not part of a believer's life. None of us escape it. And so Paul is telling us to have a perspective, a bigger perspective. And that's what helped my, that's what gave peace to my friends, Dennis I talked about, and Joy Schroeder. They both have a bigger perspective. And Paul is trying to tell his church in Rome to have a bigger perspective. Try to see the big picture. And that the things that we are dealing with really are temporary. And that we need to encourage one another. I'm not sure if it was Lavella in the back room with the worship team was praying, and she said something that was pretty profound, I thought. It was that let us be aware of each other. You know, so if you're hurting, we don't want you to hurt alone. If you're alone, we don't want you to be alone. And so if someone is suffering, we want to be part of that healing balm in the body of Christ. But Paul is encouraging us to see the big picture. And he says that even creation groans, eagerly waits for the revealing of God's glory. Well, I take a stretch class, which has been a very private thing. I can't touch my toes. Listen, that's it. It used to be up here, so it's worked a little bit. But one of the ladies that was helping me stretch, she says, "You're a pastor." I was like, "Yes." She goes, "Do you think all these hurricanes are a judgment from God?" And it's like, wow, okay. So I'm like, she's stretching my arm. I said, "Yeah, this is all part of the curse." And she was a kind of a nominal believer. But man, we wait for that day when we will be completely reunited and the earth will be healed and our hearts for those who are following Jesus. And she said, amen. It was really a neat moment. But God's called us to endure, to know that there is a purpose beyond what we can see. And I pray that you find encouragement in the promises of the future with Jesus. Amen. I'm going to ask our band to come on up. Next week, don't think I'll be here next week, but on November 3rd, I want to talk about believers groaning in verse 22 and 23. Let's just close our eyes for a moment and say, ask the Lord to help us. If you're hurting, you don't have to hurt alone. The Lord is with you. Call on him, and he'll be with you. And sometimes he uses people. Don't let pride get in the way of asking for prayer or for help. Every eye closed, head bowed. Say, "Pastor Mario, I could use some prayer. I'm hurting." You don't have to tell me what it's about, but you're just hurting. It could be all different. That's you, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Amen. Lord, I pray, God, for our church family. Lord, that you would heal our bodies, Lord, and even if you don't during our time here on this earth, Lord, we know that you are with us and that there's a bigger perspective, bigger picture. And Lord, that where we will eventually be completely whole and healed. But while we're here, Lord, help us. Fill us with your love and your peace. Lord, we know that you never leave nor forsake us. And Lord, I pray, God, that we would sense your presence in a very powerful way. Lord, your presence is our reward. I pray, God, that you would help us. Lord, thank you. Lord, help our church to stay united and focused. And Lord, we know that you are really the only answer for our world, our nation, and our state, and our city, and our neighborhood, and our street. We say thank you for that. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, let's go ahead and stand up. Thank you, Jesus. That would be an appropriate song to end our time this morning.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.